الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فيقول الله عز وجل في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم والذين هم على صلواتهم يحافظون صدق الله مولانا العظيم صدق رسول النبي الكريم. Beloved elders and brothers, some reminders for us before we start inshallah. From all the teachings of our beloved Hazrat, may Allah keep him with afiyat, granting good health and sihat, and reward him for making such sacrifices and such worry for us. Like Hazrat was mentioning last night, like what shafqat Hazrat Akim Akhtar rahmatullah alayhi had to pull each person, and we see it in our Hazrat also that what shafqat he got for all of us to pull us towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They only worry and cry to pull us towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we shouldn't take it for granted, these gatherings. Like if we see that because these people and ulama are sitting here, they have ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have their finger on the pulse all the time. They have their finger on the pulse all the time because their connection is with who? With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why when they were reading out these things, they were structured that we must read out from aqaid, from ibadat, from mu'amarat. And naturally, I'm talking about myself, your mind switches off. Switches off, okay, we heard it before, oh, we know it. And your mind switches off. And immediately Hazrat's advice was, on the pulse at that moment. He says, we worried about iman and kufr, but we're not listening to it. At that moment immediately, Allah puts it on their tongue. So don't take it for granted. And stick to their company. And whoever's company we find that we're going to benefit from them, stick to their company and don't try and go all over. If you're going by this shop, that shop, all over, you're going to get confused. You get multiple opinions, 10 opinions, 10 doctors, you're going to be left with what? You don't know what to do yourself. You got your doctor, this is your spiritual doctor, do what he says and put blinkers on that. I remember we were in Safar, and Hazrat Muhammad Rahman Sahib said so beautifully, and what if Allah gave him jazai khair, and he told us that, he says, you know, we can be 20 or 30 years with our individual or person we're taking benefit from, and we've such a long period with them, and our mindset is trained and molded in that way, but he says you will spend 2 weeks in the company of someone else. 2 weeks you spend in someone else's company, and automatically all of that which you've been standing for your whole life can get brainwashed, and you can change your mindset. So stick to their company, adhere to their company, hold to it for your dire life, hold on to it, and just stick to it. There might be other ways, there may be other things, but whatever our elders are saying, stick to them, stay in their company, and don't go into the company of others. They are leading us towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah give us tawfiq and understand. Another reminder is to make shukr of these gatherings, this opportunity that Allah is allowing us. You know, this is also Hazrat, you know, so many times you come for itikaf, or you come for a program, and I remember one program you come here, and then Hazrat mentioned it, لَا تَبُنُّ عَلَيْهِ إِسْلَامَكُمْ. Don't think that you did a great favor by us coming. Allah is allowing you to come. So the first thing, we must make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He is allowing us to come. And another beautiful point is here, Hafiz Yusuf Sahib was saying, I said, these are the things that we need to be grateful. The second reminder is, be grateful for this ni'mat that Allah is allowing us to be here. We could have been, how many million people in South Africa? See? And how many are Muslim? And from this, how many are getting this opportunity where it's the only Islami jalsa, so to say, that takes place over 2 or 3 days. Maybe it is one overnight program, but a full scale, a full blast program is taking place. And Allah is allowing us to be of those who are attending them. What a great ni'mat. Allah is allowing us. Did we ever make shukr for it? We don't make shukr for it. And Avisa was saying that, you know, that somebody might steal my topic. Somebody might steal my topic of discussion. Don't you realize that also this is a bounty from Allah, that He puts in each speaker something else in his heart, what he's going to speak about. And that will be benefit. Very seldom will you find that the one speaker has this plan the next speaker speaks exactly the same topic. And if for that matter, if he speaks, look, throughout the weekend, and just to let the brothers know, when the talks are appointed out also, or given out, that you are signing this talk, there's no really message or this meeting that, okay, you're going to discuss this, you're going to discuss that. They just say, you speak. And Allah puts it in each person's mind what they should speak about, and there's no clash. And if there is, so to say, there's a clash, then Allah will make that other speaker address it from a different angle. From a whole different dimension, he'll speak it. Did we ever thank Allah for that ni'mat and bounty? How Allah is facilitating everybody's mind. And everybody speak. Allah, who's the one doing that, my beloved brothers? It's not just happening by chance. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala facilitating it and doing it. Sometimes you'll see it in how Allah works, how Allah it is, it's beyond our imagination. So the second reminder is to make shukr, for this. And the third reminder, my beloved brothers, is that to make niyats. We don't make niyats, we don't make intentions. We don't have any reason. We just sit, we come, go with the flow and go and no niyat for eating, no niyat for sitting. Just two aspects we'll just remind on why we make niyat. And Yahya ibn Abi Kathir rahmatullah alayh would say, consider your intention. Consider your intention, because your intention is far more reaching than the actual action. Consider your intention, because your intention is far more reaching to your action. If you set with a niyat, you want nisbat with Allah, yeah, then even if you hardly heard anything, but according to your niyat, Allah will grant you nisbat. Allah will grant you that connection and love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So two things. One is for a simple, which is a great thing, but we say a simple thing when we make wudu. Does anybody make any niyat for wudu? Hardly we'll find. Allah give me tawfiq first. Except with the pious buzrug that I have, but generally we'll be all. And the reminder is here that we need to be connected all the time. We need to be all the time, because the moment you have something, you come here, you inspired, you motivated, you feel like doing it. But by the time come to next week Saturday, gone, disappeared. Simple analogy: you're hungry, you're starving, and you ate a lovely scrumptious meal. And you ate so much, you said, now, I don't even have space to, you know, Hazrat Wala gives a beautiful example, and he says that a person was suffering from indigestion, he ate so much, and there was no problem, he goes to Hakim's staff, and he tells Hakim's staff that I overate, and my food can't get digested, so give me something that I can take to make the food digest and go down. So the Hakim told him, okay, take this tablet or take this and it will settle your food. That's what you ate so much. So the person said, you're full. If I have space to put something else out and eat another morsel of food, give me some ointment to rub on my stomach so the food can get digested. But the point is that at that moment when you eat that food, you say, I don't have a space to put anything else in. But 6 hours later, 7 hours later, 8 hours later, what happens again? Tawbah. Hungry again. Similarly, the soul, you feel it now, tomorrow it's starving again. We need to be connected all the time. Whatever good things we are learning, we need to be connected all the time and every day. And the moment a day is missed out, you must feel restless. Allah give us tawfiq and understanding. So niyat, I said two things we discussed. One is wudu. Think what niyat can we make in wudu. Your first niyat is obviously the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Thirdly, make a niyat that, oh Allah, while I'm making wudu, the hadith says that kharajat khatayahu, that your sins comes out of you, it gets wiped out, it gets erased, until tahta azfariha, until it comes out under your fingertips, so your fingernails, it comes out from there. Think that as I'm making wudu, Allah is wiping out, it's drawing out all my sins. Think another thing that, while I'm making wudu, let me make it perfectly, let me make it beautifully, because this wudu is going to be a means of the beloved of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam recognizing on Qiyamah. So let me make a perfect wudu. Did we ever think of it while we're making our wudu? See what Yahdim Dekhati says, consider your niyat. Your niyat is so far reaching. When we make wudu, make intention, oh Allah, read Quran, I want to read Quran, or make niyat. Oh Allah, while I'm in a state of wudu, the angels, if a person reads Bismillah ala deen in Islam, or Bismillah on this word, Bismillah, Alhamdulillah ala deen in Islam, before his wudu, that as long as he is in wudu, then the angels make dua for his maghfirat, make dua for him. Now you made wudu, made a niyat, that as long as I'm in a state of wudu, the angels are with me, making dua for me. While you are in the state of wudu, the shaitan cannot attack you. You are now, you're insulated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is protecting you. The waswasas of shaitan cannot attack you. He cannot whisper his devilish thoughts in you. You are protected. That's another intention. Make intention that while I'm making wudu, oh Allah, if I happen to pass on now, it comes in a hadith, something to this effect, That person who passes on while in a state of wudu, he passes on as a shaheed. These are niyats we can make simple. And how much now that wudu, how far is not going to take us? A simple thing. Let us make our intentions for every action. I asked Hazrat Wala, Hafidahullah, on one occasion, that we were, I think we were in Cape Town a couple of months ago, and I asked Hazrat, what do we make intentions? He said, for everything. Make intention for wearing your clothes, when you're putting on your shoes, when you're putting your morsel into your mouth, when you're getting into your vehicle, when you're wearing your clothes, make intention. And now I said another thing, intention that we'll make, consider our amal of deen. For example, we're sitting here, we're sitting in this program here. Oh Allah, whatever good amal is taking place in the world, wherever it is, Ya Allah, put my share in it also. You're sitting here, but you are across the whole globe. Remember the words of Yahya ibn Abdi Kathir rahmatullahi alayhi. Consider your intention because it's far more reaching than your actual action. That we're sitting here, oh Allah, whatever good dua is being made in the world, Ya Allah, whatever good dua is being made in the world by any of your bandas, whether it is in a jungle, whether it is in a masjid, whether it is Makkah, Medina, wherever it is, oh Allah, include me in that dua also. What a beautiful thing. How much dua have we been able to get? Everybody is making dua. Allah give us tawfiq to bring the realities. The first reminder was to stay in the company of our pious and righteous and stick to them. Don't go anywhere else. Just stick in their company and stick and put blinkers and listen. As long as they follow Shariat. As long as their life is according to the Quran and Sunnah, we will hold on to those lives, those individuals with our dear life. And that is from the teachings of our elders. The second thing is to make shukr for these beautiful bounties. And third thing is to correct our niyat for everything that we're doing. We were talking about being grateful for these bounties. Beloved brothers, the bounty of salah. This wonderful bounty that Allah has gifted us with. Ask Sahaba, he was sitting here. He tells us that when salah started with Jama'at in their area, he says you could feel the atmosphere of the area has changed. We grow up in these areas with salah in our homes, masjid, so we don't really feel it. We don't understand what a great thing it is. And salah is known to be as a bounty from Allah. A what? A bounty. A gift from Allah. What is it? A gift of Allah. I want to ask myself and yourself for a moment. Does it occur to us in a day ever that I am going to thank Allah for the gift of salah? When a person comes, I come, Yasmana Zain, I give him a gift. Now he doesn't tell me anything. Obviously I'll feel that, oh, he gives me a nice, beautiful, wonderful gift. I can access whatever he has, I can access. And I don't even worry to thank him or be grateful to him. They'll say, this Mawlana, he's upside down, he doesn't have the decency to thank me. Allah has given us the gift of salah. Does it ever occur to us? It's a gift given us. Does it ever occur to us that Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka shukr, ashkuruka ya Rabb bi ni'mati salah. Oh Allah, I praise you, I thank you, you have given me the gift of salah. Did we, I ask myself, do it occur to us? Do we have on a daily basis that we thank Allah for a moment that He has given us this wonderful gift of salah? Our elders tell us, Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that they rejoiced, they celebrated. It was a festival the day when the gift of salah came to them. They said that now I don't need anyone. I got now contact with my Allah. I got direct contact with my Allah. And they spoke and they put their needs before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the thing that we're saying, that we need to be connected all the time. You'll hear about the wonderful star, and I talk myself as the biggest culprit. That you come for the Islahi Jalsa, you come for Itikaf program, you go for Safar, and after the Safar goes, after you complete the Safar for 2-3 days, your Salah, you see improvement in the Salah. You see khushu, trying, not that we can come everything closer to the elders and pious, but you try and you see your salah is a bit more concentration, your salah becomes better, you see improvement, connection, like we have alhamdulillah. We should be connected, you know, our elders tell us, be connected to all the efforts of deen. Once I was asking Hazrat also, that how do you invite? You invite to this program, or that Hazrat Wala, Hafidahullah, he says that, all is ours. Salami sunnah, manager and sunnah of Rasulullah, all is ours. We should be part and parcel of it. And look how beautiful Hazrat explains. Every time it's something new that comes about. The more you spend time in the company of these pious elders, the more you will learn about Allah. Hazrat mentioned such a beautiful thing. He said that the amount of people there are on the earth, that's the amount of pathways, the mashayikh, right, that's the amount of pathways towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The amount of people there are on the earth, that's the amount of ways you can reach Allah. And further, Allahu Akbar. Explain to the amount of breath there are of the creation, whatever creation, what a vast creation, which we cannot begin to fathom or understand. Inconceivable. The amount of breath of the creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the amount of pathways there are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Hazrat adds, he says, we should make intention that, oh Allah, allow me to take maximum of those pathways towards you. Don't be satisfied. Don't be a qadi. Don't be contented on the one or two paths. Whatever you can, wherever it is, try and endeavor. So the youngsters were telling us that, alhamdulillah, when they go, they also yatray, may Allah accept them and accept us all and our children and the progeny and the whole ummah, and let hidayah spread wide. And when the hidayah comes, may Allah grant us His love also as well. So the youngest thing, you know, when you're going in the path of Allah in Jamaat, and you get nisbat with Allah, you cry in Salah, you get that connection. But ask him himself, after you come out of that environment, after 3 days, is it the same person spends 10 days in Rikab, or the brothers spend now, mashallah, made great sacrifice here from all far, far and wide places. 3 days here you're spending. Now, when you go outside, accidentally, the first glance on a stranger, where you're not supposed to look, feel when the heart becomes thin, you can feel it happening, something happening to the heart. If the environment has changed, it's never the same. So now we need to come back again. As that explains, when the wheel alignment goes out, then what happens? You have to go back into the roadway or into the footman center and get the wheel alignment, put it back in order. You hit a pothole on the way. So we need to be connected at all the time. Till when? As that and our elders explain, till when? Till we die. Till our last breath. So salah is something that we need to be connected to all the time. And have a daily portion of where we're reading about Salah, some hadith about Salah, some book on Salah, and listen to the majlises of the weekly majlis that come, weekly hadith that come, weekly tafsir that come. This will enable us and assist us to be connected all the time. Some stories from the lives of Sahaba, or lives of the pious about Salah, that how Salah was so dear to them, how it was so enjoyable to them, that when we realize that Salah is actually a ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it does not become difficult. Like Hazrat mentioned and explains, that when the Salah becomes dear to us, then, you got your Isha Salah 17 rakats, Fajr 4 rakats, Dhuhr 12 rakats. Hazrat, like during the process of Ramadan, Hazrat Wala explains, Maghrib, Awwabin, how many rakats of Awwabin, how many the maximum rakat? I'm sure many of us, I didn't know. We learned from our Hazrat. May Allah give him jazaya khair and reward him with the best. You know, sometimes I stand in a saf, Allah give him jazaya khair. And the way Hazrat explained us about putting your heels on the line, that put your heels and make sure, and if you travel or you sit with Hazrat and watch him, how he'll make sure that each heel must be on the line. I say, Allahu Akbar. Every time you stand up and you want to make yourself, may life be sacrificed for my Hazrat. That how he's explaining us these small things at every moment. And then he says that, if the hadith says that you can never establish salah, not until you perfected salah. That you're perfecting yourself. And how he's explaining it to us. That perfect your salah, perfect yourself. Perfect it. And with that, now we'll see how connection comes with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the link comes with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, he says about the six rakat awwabin. Where did we know even that actually awwabin can be 20 rakats? 20 rakats of awwabin salah. Then he says, the way he explained it so practically, so beautifully, he says, you always want to see a world site. I want to see this destination. See that. It's on the bucket list. Did be everything in my life. When is it going to be on my bucket list to perform once in my life 20 rakat salat al-awwabin? But the point coming here is that when the love of salah comes in our life, then in fact he says that is that which has been prescribed and been, this is what you must do. First is you got your fard, then you got your sunnah, then you got your nawafir, then you got your mustahabat. This is all been prescribed. Now what about when you love something, then you don't only do what your wife wants, you do extra. When you do something above that day also, more than that, when are you going to do? That I've got the extra 2 rakat, a few minutes. Let me take out some time and do that. When the love of salah will come in, I don't have a taste of it really. May Allah open up my heart, my dead heart, and open it up for all of us, and our mothers, sisters, and our children, that the reality of coming, that our life can become enjoyable, and enjoy salah. Like how we enjoy things of the dunya. That Sarakin also, the Quran says, وَالَّذِينَهُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَوَاتِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ. That we preserve our salah, that we look after our salah, we take care of it, we safeguard it. You, when you take God, when you safeguard something, you can't safeguard it now, then you leave it, then you go away. What will happen to the treasure? It will disappear. It won't stay there. You have to safeguard it, protect it. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi, two stories and we'll end off inshallah. Allah give us the reality of this. Allah give us the understanding that it must open, and it's only Allah who can give us the real understanding and hidayat. He said Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi used to perform, now we're talking about the awwab being 20 rakats, which is, we can't even think that when the day will come. Even if Ramadan come, we'll never be able to do it. We don't have the strength, but Allah must, you know, let us start with the intention, design, Allah will open it up for us. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi used to perform of almost 300 rakats of Nafil Salat. 300 rakats. And then being, after being whooped, all written in Fadail Amal. May Allah give us the topic to read Fadail Amal, Fadail Sadaqat on a daily basis now. Hazrat Wala mentioned that Fadail Amal, Fadail Sadaqat is like the encyclopedia of today's time. To take you and connect you to Allah, the Quran, Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let us all make intention to read it in our home on a daily basis. The time you're somewhere and you can't listen to the talks, you can't attend the talks, at least open up these kitabs. It will be like you're in the company of these Ahlullah, the friends of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So after that, he didn't want to submit and, you know, give concession or go with the ruler of that time. The ruler lashed him. And because the king lashed him, then he reduced it. Because out of weakness, then he would reduce it to 150 rakats of Nafil Salat. I don't think there'd be anyone, I don't know, illa mashallah, maybe that have performed in a day 150 rakats of Nafil Salat. But we need to keep this before that this is our goal. This is our energy. This is what Allah has created us for. That's what Allah has given us, all the taqat and power, strength, energy. Allah has actually given us for this. Not to exert ourselves to the highest level for the dunya. Allah has actually gifted us this to make preparation for the akhirah. And the last story I share with us is about when this love enters our heart. May Allah open up my heart. And Hazrat Wala explains also, open up your heart. Now you're sitting here, open up heart. Especially now tonight when the main program comes. Open up your heart. On one safar we learn, open up your heart. Not only open up your heart before that. Empty out your heart. Ya Allah, empty out my heart. Now let the bucket, open the bucket, let the rain come. Let the nur of Allah, which is sending, let it come. Let the tajalli and the focus come onto your heart. Thabit bin Banani rahmatullah alayhi would cry so profusely and supplicate at night that you'd cry that somebody warned him and said, oh Thabit, if you cry so much, and you cry so much at night in your salah and your supplication, you lose your eyesight. You lose your eyesight. Stop crying so much. So Thabit bin Banani rahmatullah alayhi said, that what good is it of eyesight if it cannot weep before Allah? What good are those eyes if it can't hear before Allah? And may Allah open up our taste buds when a tear can drop for the love of Allah, for salah. What ecstasy, what sweetness, what joy, what gardens of Jannah. You find, Azamah Yunus Patel Rahmatullah says, some people are talking about Jannah, somebody will talk about, but when you get Allah in your life, you have the gardens of Jannah in your heart all the time in the dunya. Thabit bin Manani then, he says, oh Allah, if you have anything that you can give someone, give me the privilege of performing salah in my qabr. This is when it comes dear to us. Which one of us ever dreamt that, ya Allah, give me the tawfiq to perform salah in my qabr or in my akhirat? That they tasted something which we haven't tasted in the salah, that the desire for qabr and akhirat must be that I am allowed to make salah. If you allow this privilege for anyone, ya Allah, then allow me to be the one to perform salah in my qabr. Abu Sanana rahmatullah alayhi says, I was at the good fortune to be at the burial of Thabit bin Banani rahmatullah alayhi. After we completed the burial, one of the bricks fell out. And as I peeped in, I saw, we were completed with all the burial rituals. When I peeped inside, I saw Thabit bin Banani standing up and performing his salah. He then called Hakim attention to the brother next to him and said, see what he said, shh, don't tell anyone. He went home and asked from the family members for Tarza, asked that, what was it from Thabit bin Banani rahmatullah alayhi that allowed him this privilege? He said, my father, for the last 50 years, used to be regular and punctual with Tahajjud Salah. And every morning at Tahajjud, he used to cry, Ya Allah, if you allow the privilege of someone to perform Salah in the Qabr, allow that privilege to me. Allah bless it to them. Allah give us the reality of Salah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the realization of these majalis. Really, it is Jannat on earth. Really, this majalis of sitting in the Ahlullah. I don't know how to explain it. Sometimes when the poetry is being read, you feel like your heart wants to burst with what being said. May Allah give us the reality. May Allah give us the words to explain the beauty of it. And like someone said so beautifully, he said, I don't know how to explain to you what is this majalis. All I can explain to you, it's like a But it's through Ba'ath. May Allah give us that true understanding and make us change with the world. We have a small amount here, but if we take this effort and this body, we take it to all of the others in the world. Allah give us those.